It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
What is happening, everybody? Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. We have a really good discussion today. I hope it'll be a good discussion. We've got the phone lines open if you want to weigh in on this question. Very simple. Can Penn State win the national championship? Simple as that. Now, there are a lot of elements we can discuss with regards to this question. Can Penn State win the national championship? You're ranked number three in the country at the midway point of the season. The goal right now, the realistic expectation right now, it should be that, yeah, maybe you think Penn State can win it all. I do not. I don't say that to be a hater. I still believe there are a significant number of questions about this team. But I can lay out a case, I can lay out a scenario for you where Penn State is right there. And then you just, you know, you maybe got to win one game that should be a kind of a toss-up, and then you got to win one game that maybe you shouldn't win. You're an underdog. So, 946-0435. You want to weigh in? You think Penn State can win the national championship this year? Very simple. Very simple question. You got to tell me why. You got to give me your reasoning for why or why not. My reasoning for why not, I still think there are questions about this team if they go up against a quality offense. The defense, to me, this is not your typical just destroy everybody Penn State defense. It's a good defense, but you give up 27 points to Bowling Green, you give up 30 points to USC. That makes you wonder what's going to happen against a quality offense like an Ohio State. If they get into the playoff, somebody like an Oregon, somebody like a Georgia, an Alabama, teams that can score themselves, I just wonder, because again, USC, that's a decent team. I don't think they're a great team, but first and foremost for me is I don't know that this is a good enough Penn State defense to just completely shut people out. So therefore, it puts more pressure on the offense to come up with just a ton of big plays. Now, the big plays were there. I don't mean explosive plays. I mean clutch plays late in the game against USC as Drew Aller connects on two fourth down passes to Julian Fleming. But again, that's against USC. And I've said it several times this week. I think USC lost that game every bit as much as Penn State won it. If USC completes one more pass to a guy that's open instead of the quarterback airmailing it by 2 feet, USC's probably going to win that game. So, again, that's the question for you. 946-0435. If you want to weigh in on that discussion, do you think Penn State can win the national championship this season? So that's one concern of mine. The other concern, again, I'll just flip it on this. I still don't know that Drew Aller, when push comes to shove against a real quality defense, I mean, that was really a one-man show against USC with Tyler Warren catching 17 passes for 224 yards. A good defense is not going to allow that to happen. It's remarkable, really, that USC was unable to check Tyler Warren in any way, shape, or form. Somebody's going 17 for 224 on you. That's almost like you forgot to watch any game film and you weren't prepared for that guy at all, for God's sake. I mean, holy man. How do you allow one guy? And he was open on literally every play. So I'm not sure how that happens. But the flip side to this, I'm going to paint the picture for you that could lead to Penn State winning the national title. And this even includes a loss to Ohio State. If they beat Ohio State, they very well go undefeated, go to the Big Ten championship game. I think they lose there to Oregon. But still, you're talking about one loss. If you've got one loss, it is possible to have a bye. I don't think it'll happen. I doubt it would happen. I doubt Penn State would be in the top four. So I keep kind of defaulting to, say Penn State's got one loss. Say they lose at home to Ohio State by less than 10 points. Pretty competitive game, they lose by less than 10 points. Well, that's 11-1. Now, some of the tricky components here are, if you're 11-1, would you get into the Big Ten championship game? And quite frankly, you really don't. If your goal is to win the national championship, from a Penn State perspective, I don't think you really want to be in the Big Ten championship game. If you've got one loss and you go to the Big Ten championship game and play either Ohio State or Oregon, those teams are going to be favored. Ohio State would be favored over Penn State in the Big Ten championship game. Oregon would be favored over Penn State in the Big Ten championship game. Maybe not by much. 2 to 4 points. Maybe Ohio State might be favored a little bit more on a neutral field. We'll see. But if you're 11-1, you kind of just maybe roll into a 6 seed. Okay? If you're a 6 seed and you play the number 11 seed in the first round, that game would be at Beaver Stadium. You play the number 11 seed in the first round, and you should win that game. And then, if you're the 6 seed and you play the number 3 seed in the second round, look, I'm not gonna totally downplay it. That would be a difficult game, but it might be kind of a toss-up game. Right now, you've got Texas, Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia. Those teams are all in position to be right around those top 4 seeds. But you have to have a conference champion as a number four. So the ACC champion. Let's throw the ACC champion as the number 4 seed. Let's just give that to Miami. All right. So say we go in no particular order. Well, maybe this is the order. Texas 1, Oregon or Ohio State 2, if they win the national title, Georgia 3, Miami 4. That sound somewhat logical as of right now. Texas 1, Oregon, Ohio State, or Ohio State 2, Georgia 3, Miami as the ACC winner 4. And then let's say you go Ohio State or Georgia 5. An 11-1 Penn State team would have a really good chance to be the number 6 seed right there. So under that scenario, as a 6 seed, if Penn State were to win a first-round game, like right now the 11th-ranked team is Tennessee. Who knows what it'd be down the road. But Penn State would be favored over Tennessee at Beaver Stadium. Then if you win that game, you get Georgia, a 3 seed in the second round on a neutral side in one of the major bowl games. Could they beat Georgia? They would be an underdog. I don't think they'd beat Georgia, so therefore I don't think they can win the national championship. If they beat Georgia too, then they got to play either Texas or Oregon or Ohio State for the national title. I don't think you're going to beat either of those teams anyway. But Penn State, Georgia on a neutral field? Georgia would be favored 4 to 6 points, I think. I said earlier that it might be kind of a toss-up game. I don't know that that's so much a toss-up game. A toss-up game is, you know, 1 to 3 points. I think Georgia's favored by more than 3 points over Penn State. So anyway, that's my question. 946. No takers yet. I can't believe I've been talking about this for 10 minutes. Nobody calling in. Yes or no? Yes or no? Can Penn State win the national title? Let me hear from you after the break.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Shoe Fly. Your feet will thank you.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your Halloween party or trick-or-treat, great times and great snacks go hand-in-hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Hey, welcome back. Penn State's on a bye this week. I mentioned the other day, like, when you win a game like they did at USC in just thrilling fashion, you'd almost rather just keep playing the next week, you know, carry that high, all that momentum and adrenaline into the next week of another game. They get a bye this week, then they go to Wisconsin next week. So my question of the day, can this Penn State team win a national title? 946-0435 if you want to weigh in on that. I'd love to hear anybody, yes, no, what you think it would take to do it or not. I lean toward no. I'm a hard lean. I'm 75% no that they can't win a national title. I think even if they could pull off one really good win in the playoff, I'm not sure they're getting two really, I mean, if I'm sitting here looking at this and kind of projecting, if they've got to play Georgia in the second round on a neutral field in a big bowl game, I don't think they're winning that game. Georgia's been there, done that, all these Georgia players. Now, if it's Texas, yeah, Texas is got a lot of experience as well. Oregon, I don't know. Oregon's players, now Dillon Gabriel's been around a long time, but I'd like the chances maybe against Oregon just from an experience standpoint, but Oregon can really throw the ball. And I've been saying this for weeks now. If you can really throw the ball, you're always going to have a chance to beat Penn State. I for a long, long time, I have felt like Penn State's defense has been vastly overrated when it comes to stopping the pass, simply because Penn State hasn't seen high-quality quarterbacks on any level of a consistent basis forever. You call in and tell me a time that Penn State has had to play four or five really good quarterbacks in a season. Has it ever happened? Because in the Big Ten, you can say no. Oh, well, what about Tom Brady or somebody like that? Well, yeah, maybe they played two good quarterbacks in a season. But Penn State has always had, you know, if Penn State's destiny were in the Big 12, where a conference that throws the ball, puts up video game numbers all the time, we're talking about a different story. Now, would Penn State's defense be as good? No. Would Penn State's offense be better? Better suited to get to 35, 40 points again? Well, sure. Because you kind of set yourself up around the kind of competition that you're going to face. But when you're facing, you know, Wisconsin, now traditionally, when Wisconsin had Russell Wilson 12 years ago, 13 years ago, whatever it was, that was Monty Ball. Russell Wilson, that was a tremendous Wisconsin offense. But by and large, in the Big Ten, Penn State's going to see one to maybe two good quarterbacks here. This year, they don't face Oregon. No Dillon Gabriel. Dillon Gabriel's the number four career passer in college football history. Penn State won't play them. So that's kind of a break. Do you want to see Oregon in the Big Ten championship game? Do you want to see Oregon in a playoff? Well, what about Penn State's pass rush? Well, the way to beat the quick pass rush is get rid of the ball quickly. And with a veteran quality quarterback like Oregon has, Carson Beck from Georgia, Quinn Ewers from Texas. Those are not teams that I think Penn State matches up well against from a defensive standpoint, because those are teams. Now, if you could get somebody to beat those teams for you, if you can get somebody to beat Oregon for you, if you can get somebody to beat Texas for you, then sure, you always have a shot. But I, you know, on a neutral field, Penn State would be an underdog against Texas. Penn State would be an underdog against Oregon. Penn State would be an underdog against Georgia. Penn State would be an underdog against Ohio State. And look at the rest of these rankings to see if they would be an underdog against anybody else. Miami, I think Penn State would be favored over them. Alabama. I think Alabama would be favored over Penn State. I think the number would be pretty small, less than three. I think Penn State would be favored over Miami by maybe a decent number, five plus, maybe a touchdown. LSU, I think Penn State's favored over them. Iowa State, Penn State's probably favored over them. Clemson, yes. Tennessee, probably. I think Penn State's favored over them. It'd be very, very close. Notre Dame is tricky in all this. Notre Dame loses to Northern Illinois early. They've got USC at the end. Notre Dame's still very much alive in the playoff race. All right, so in terms of who Penn State would be favored against, I think everybody maybe except Texas, Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia. I don't know about Alabama. Alabama has not been impressive the last couple weeks, so that would be a very interesting game. All right, you want to weigh in on that, we'll take your phone calls, 946-0435. The other big story for this week with regards to the Steelers, and we'll spend a lot of time throughout the week on this, but Russell Wilson did take first team reps today for the Steelers in practice. Mike Tomlin said yesterday that Wilson is in consideration for the potential starting job. I want to take a break, get to some more of that coming up here in just a second.
Denny Hamlin had a 30-point buffer heading into Sunday's race and barely made it into the round of eight.
If I don't have a horrible day, yes. But I've had horrible days here before. So I just certainly you don't feel, you know, I feel better about it than what I did with five to go in Talladega, certainly. So I think that, you know, I just got to do my part in all this, right? It starts today and goes on to tomorrow. And I just need to do my job the best of my ability. And if so, then we'll be fine. If not, then we, you know, we'll see what all stacks up. But 30 points, if you would ask me before Talladega, could you go to the, you know, would you be all right with 30 points to the good going to the Roval? I would say yes.
Denny Hamlin talks about the schedule of this year's playoff system.
Really, I mean, certainly the work that you put in during the regular season helps with that, right? You get to have a jump start when the round starts, right? So those who have the most regular season points or bonus points or whatever are always going to reset to the top. So, you know, if it was all zero, you know, where would it be? So I think that it shows the importance of the regular season. And certainly if you can build a buffer for bad days, that really pays off in rounds like these. But we still haven't seen this round totally fully play out quite yet.
This is the final app.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text BODY to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BODY to 321-321. That's BODY to 321-321.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell. Well, Pipe.
Hank FM.
Hey, there's one more college football topic I want to get to before I get into the Steelers thing. And this was addressed today by the NCAA. So at the end of the Ohio State-Oregon game on Saturday, Oregon pulled a great move. They didn't cheat. They didn't do anything wrong. They pulled off a great move. And I'll say this. I coach young kids in a lot of sports, and some of you, you can take this however you want it. And some of you may think, it's a terrible lesson to teach kids. One thing I will tell kids is it's not a foul if they don't call it. Okay? And if you think, that's real kind of shady, Geiger. well, then you've never played sports. I promise you. Especially a sport, a physical sport like a basketball, where you're kind of moving around inside, around a lot of bodies and everything. There's fouls on every single play in basketball. People say there's holding on every play in football. There's a foul on every single play in basketball. If you go by the letter of the law, you can't touch people's wrists or arms. There's a foul on every play in basketball. If it's not called, you keep playing. All right? Soccer. I've never been tremendously knowledgeable about soccer. I hate soccer. It's the most boring thing in the world to watch. But my kids play a lot of soccer. So I have to sit through a lot of youth soccer games. You know what happens in a lot of youth soccer games? People run each other the hell over. Happens on almost every play. And I'm watching these plays. I'm like, that's got to be a foul. That's got to be a foul. That's got to be a foul. They don't call it. They don't call any of that stuff. All right? So, and again, I that's my feeling in sports is if they're not calling it, then it's not a foul. Okay? All right? And so, especially in basketball, I'm 5'8". I was a pretty good rebounder when I played junior high and high school basketball. I would probably foul on every play trying to get a rebound. I'd tug at the guy's shoulder. I'd stick my butt in real hard. I'd probably foul most of the time. I was never called. When you're little, you kind of get away with it. So, look, I'm not talking about cheating here. I'm not talking about cheating. I'm not talking about, you know, blatantly being, you know, pulling off some kind of crime out there. I'm talking about you play the game hard. You play the game physical. And in basketball, you get 5 fouls. If they call you on it, fine. If they don't, you keep doing it. All right? So Oregon, Ohio State, on Saturday, Oregon pulls off this brilliant play that was perfectly within the rules. Perfectly within the rules at the time. Here's the asterisk. At the time. So Ohio State, late in the game, they're trying to drive for a winning field goal. They're down 1. Their quarterback, Will Howard, takes off and runs. I think there are scenarios. There's 10 seconds left in the game. All right? 10 seconds left in the game. Will Howard takes off and runs. No, wait, that was the next play. I'm sorry, that was the final play that Will Howard ran. So there's 10 seconds left in the game. Ohio State runs a play. Oregon, on purpose, sent a 12th man onto the field. On purpose. And got a penalty. Ohio State only picked up a small gain. Now there's 6 seconds left in the game. Okay? Oregon coach Dan Lanning admitted after the game, we knew the rule. We knew that if we got a 12th man penalty, they wouldn't reset the clock. Herein lies the situation. So with 10 seconds to go, Oregon figures we'll take the penalty. But 4 seconds came off the clock. So then on the final play, 6 seconds to go, this is the one that Ohio State quarterback Will Howard takes off and runs. He slides literally at 0. If there had been another second and a half on the clock, Ohio State probably could have kicked a winning field goal. But because Oregon had that 12th man penalty, it knocked 4 seconds off the clock. Ohio State has the clock run out on them on the next play. Well, today, and you know what's interesting? The NCAA is such a fraudulent, pathetic organization when it comes to getting things done. They act slowly, takes them forever to investigate. It's today, Wednesday. But 4 days after this Oregon-Ohio State play, the NCAA has changed the rule. In a release Wednesday, this is from the ESPN story, the NCAA issued a new rules interpretation on how to handle a penalty for 12 players on the field in the final 2 minutes of either half. If the defense has 12 players actively participate in the down, the offense can choose, along with the 5-yard penalty, to have the game clock reset to the time that had been displayed at the snap. So, the NCAA closed the loophole today. Now, I've seen a lot of people criticizing Oregon, but I've also seen a ton of people praising Oregon for being smarter than the officials, for being smarter than the rule book. You ever heard that phrase, work smarter, not harder? They knew the rule. They took advantage of the rule, and it helped them win a gigantic game. Now, caller number two calls in. He is an Ohio State fan. I like to pick his brain on certain sports issues. You think Oregon crossed a line, caller number two, or do you give them credit for being smarter than the rules?
I give them credit for being smarter than the rules, or playing by the rules.
Absolutely. Okay, so yeah. But what's the rest of Ohio? What's the rest of Buckeye Nation feeling? They all pissed, or they tip their cap to Oregon?
Oh no, they're not. Hey, if you play to win, you get out coached, you admit it.
You have any trouble with what Oregon did then?
No, I have trouble with what Howard.
Say that
gotta
again.
Gotta have that clock.
Yeah, with Howard,
I've got trouble. Yeah. He's got to know the time in his head.
Yeah, and that's a tough sweat. Because would that have gotten him to about the 25-yard line?
Yeah, it would have been 42. They could have made a kick.
Yeah, 42, 43 yards to try to win the game. So do you have an issue with the NCAA at all for immediately changing this, or do you applaud the NCAA for realizing this can't happen again?
Well, it's amazing how quick they act on this, but Everything else takes 5 years.
Yeah, Michigan still has a national championship from last year, right?
Yeah, that kind of bugs me.
Do you think that's going to hold up here in another 3-4 years? Do you think the NCAA is going to overturn all that stuff?
I think in about 12 years they'll fine them $1,000.
$1,000. That's great. That's great. Hey, let me ask you this. You haven't seen Penn State yet. You think Penn State can win the national title?
Well, I kind of agree with you. They could catch fire, maybe get some lucky. They're good enough to make it a game for, I think, anybody out there. But I think some of the teams on paper look better. I'm very worried about the Ohio State game. It's there, and, you know, winning that USC game will give them a lot of confidence.
Yeah, and look, this is not an Ohio State team. Most of these players have not been here. Will Howard hasn't been here. He's played in big games in other places, but not here. Travion Henderson, I guess, has probably been here. Emeka Ebuka has been here for a game. But that's Ohio State. If Ryan Day loses that game, could he be fired like the next day?
I think they'll play the year out, but I said to my brothers, I texted them after the game, I said, maybe we should have spent $21 million on this team. They spent $20 million. They might have needed another million. So
yeah.
He's definitely on the hot seat.
If they lose that and that's two losses, now you're talking about Ohio State being an 8-12 seed and having to go on the road in the first round. And then that obviously makes their path a lot more difficult.
Yeah, I didn't know this. Day is 1-7 against top 5 teams.
Yeah, isn't that something? I saw that stat. So I saw that stat in conjunction with this phrase, and you know this phrase, born on third base. You know, Ryan Day's had a lot of success. They've won a lot of games, but he was also born on third base. He took over a program that is among the elite of the elite, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, boom, right there. And, you know, he has not gotten it done in big games, in enough big games anyway.
No, he's John Cooper light.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Good stuff, buddy. Appreciate the call, man.
Okay.
946-0435. We got Tim in Altoona. What's up, Tim? How you doing, buddy?
Good, Corey. Good show. I wanted to talk about just a couple of things. I agree with your point on Penn State, the chances on winning the national championship at most 25%. You know, they're still in the second tier of those top teams. I agree with your analysis. It was interesting that you brought up that I agree with that the Oregon coach, that was a great call, right? I agree with that. It made me think about something. I called you the other day, and we were talking about the USC game, and I said that Tyler Warren double pass. I don't know if you had a chance to review it, but I said it was clear pass interference.
I remember, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at it from the left side. Most of the replays are from the right side, but there's an interesting thing there in college football. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Right, right.
In the NFL, that's a spot foul.
Right.
You know, so why wouldn't that defensive back just knock them? I mean, he basically did just knock him over. But if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna do it, you're beat. Just plow him over.
Yeah.
That's another, you know.
I can't say this for 100% fact. I'm not in a defensive backfield room or cornerback room. I would feel 98% certain that those coaches tell the kid, if you're beat, push them.
Yeah.
Because you'd be stupid not to. I think Joey Porter Jr. probably did it a good bit when he was there, because Joey got called for a lot of stuff. But
yeah,
and look, doesn't it make common sense that if you're going to get beat on a 60-yard touchdown,
right,
knock the guy down. And just
absolutely
get called for a PI. Now it's a 15-yard gain.
Right. Now, I can't believe I forget the Pitt quarterback's name that played for the Steelers and then the Eagles.
Kenny Pickett.
But he had that fake slide.
Yes, right.
In the bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
And did the NFL or did the NCAA come in pretty quickly?
They
to
did. They did. Came. They did. They changed it literally because that was in the bowl game, the Peach Bowl, I think it was. I think the rule was changed within a week or two, just
for
like
the next
this
season,
yeah,
or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's funny you say that about one thing I want to add on that, because I like throwing this out, like Joe Flacco. I exaggerate on this a little bit because Joe Flacco is a good quarterback. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco is still in the NFL. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. I've joked for a lot of years that Joe Flacco's favorite play is to just chuck it up the field 50 yards and hope for a pass interference. I mean, he did that so many times when he was with the Ravens. Not and you know, it almost became an art form that was a great way for the Ravens offense to gain 50 yards.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call, Tim. 946-0435. Joe Flacco still playing in the NFL. Is he the starter in Indy? I think he probably will be. It's between him. He's 39 years old. Seems like he's older than that, but man, he's been around a long time. All right, 946-0435. I will get to our Steelers topic here coming up in a moment.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
J&P Auto Mart, that's where I should have gone. You can find them on the web at jnpautomart.com. J&P Auto Mart, that's where I'm gonna go. Call 1-800-567-6940. Stuck here at a red light, feeling like a jerk, since I bought that sales pitch from that auto clerk. I never should have listened to what he had to say. If I'd gone to J&P Auto Mart, I'd have had a better day.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Kepner's Grand View Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 11:30 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grand View Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grand View Meats.
Automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again, at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text REP to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text REP to 321-321. That's REP to 321-321.
Hank FM.
I want to thank our presenting sponsor every day, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. Got some great Tom Petty here. Breakdown. That is good stuff, man. I see later on here, a little preview here. We're going to start the hour with some Tim McGraw, Indian Outlaw. How many of you remember Indian? I'm an Indian Outlaw. Half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa. Oh, man, that's a great song. I haven't heard that in a long time, but I see it on our board here. That's going to play 5 o'clock. That's good stuff. All right, thanks to J.M. Boswell, our presenting sponsor, Russell Wilson. Get some first-team reps today in practice. I thought this would be fun to do. So, I have a buddy, Luke Hetrick, graduated from Hollidaysburg, St. Francis, professional sports broadcaster, worked down in Atlanta last year, covered the Falcons under Arthur Smith. So, when the Steelers hired Arthur Smith, I caught up with Luke back in January to get a little bit of a preview of what we might expect from Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator. I want to see, after 6 games, if what we talked about came true or not. So I went back in our archives. We're going to play the interview. We're going to play maybe 8-10 minutes of this from January. What did we think the Steelers were getting from Arthur Smith versus what they've gotten from Arthur Smith, which is a lousy offense, and a quarterback who's throwing for about 150 yards per game. They've hired a new offensive coordinator. His name's Arthur Smith. Was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons the past few years. My good buddy Luke Hetrick from Hollidaysburg, graduated from St. Francis. Terrific sports broadcasting career. As luck would have it, he covered the Falcons this year for a TV station down in Atlanta all season. Got to know Arthur Smith. So I reached out to my good buddy. Who is Arthur Smith, Luke? Well, what can you tell us about this guy?
Arthur Smith's a guy that loves to design creative plays. He, I think, wants to be cut from the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Ben Johnson tree to where you can plug anyone into that system, anyone in, and it's not so much the quarterback or the player that makes it, but it's the play design that it'll always be there. I think that is something that he strived for. He has shown in spurts that he can do that and have success with a variety of different quarterbacks, whether that be Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan, or even to an extent, a Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder. And that's where I put the emphasis on spurts. But he is a creative offensive mind. He does get a little stubborn, does get a little bogged down in his ways, does have some things that needed to be worked out on the offensive side of the ball to take that next step as a play caller. But this is a guy that is really good at his job, wasn't able to show it for a multitude of reasons in Atlanta. This is a good hire by the Steelers.
Okay. Is he a better offensive coordinator than head coach? Because that's really, you know, the Falcons, 7-10, they're kind of stumbling along. It's tough to be a head coach. How good of a coordinator is he?
He's a good coordinator. He is a good coordinator, and I think you can't be bogged down by what you saw in Atlanta. They had a plan in place to kind of finish this thing out with Matt Ryan over the last couple years, and I think that plan was in place, and then all of a sudden, oh, hey, Arthur Blank steps in and changes everything, and they try and go get Deshaun Watson. We saw how that ended up. They were kind of in no man's land, so they've tried to patch it together the last couple years with just marginal play, really subpar play at quarterback the last 2 years. I think you were able to see the play design of what he is able to do, guys that he's able to get open, how he's able to use his personnel, which what you saw this past year in Atlanta from a skill standpoint is eerily similar to what you're going to see in Pittsburgh with this roster. So he is a better coordinator than head coach. You can also point to the fact that a couple years in a row, he had top five offenses in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and not great production at the wide receiver position. So I think as a head coach, things were trending in the right way. 2023 was just not a good year. I think some flaws in terms of running an organizational structure were shown. I don't think it's one of those things where he can never be a head coach again, but he's going to a situation that's going to be good for him and is going to keep his name kind of bouncing around to where he can be a head coach candidate eventually. But I think this is going to be something where the Steelers may have found a guy that could be there, not just a quick pit stop, but will be there for a few years.
See, that's what's interesting, because I was having a discussion with somebody. He thinks that this is going to be a quick pit stop for a guy, that this is a guy that's using this as a reclamation project, and he can't wait to get out of here. So if he does well in Pittsburgh, how long is Arthur Smith even here?
I think Arthur Smith's a guy that's going to want to be there for at least 3 or 4 years, because this is not going to be a let me take the first job that's available. Because in a lot of ways, he kind of did that with Atlanta, and it was a situation that he walked into, which was the back end of Matt Ryan's career, where they thought he still had some good years left in him, where they were in absolute cap hell, where they made so many bad decisions on contracts with Julio Jones and extending guys. And he was able, with the team for a couple years that everyone thought, okay, this might be a 4-5-1 team, kept him in the playoff hunt a couple times with bad defenses and everything. So I think this is a situation where you don't just jump, or if you're Arthur Smith, and go take the Panthers job if an impulsive owner like David Tepper fires Dave Canales after 1 year or something like that. This is going to be one where it's going to fit him really well. He's a Southern guy. The Tennessee vibe fit him really well. So who knows if that's a job that comes open down the road. He is from Memphis. His father is the CEO and founder of FedEx. So Tennessee kind of fits him really well. So I don't think he's going to be a guy from a financial standpoint that's just going to want to jump at any opportunity.
Arthur Smith's
going to have his work cut out for him.
I probably should have known this. Arthur Smith's dad founded FedEx, so he's like a billionaire.
It's something along those lines. And I don't want to give the wrong title, but he is FedEx money. Yeah, pretty high up in FedEx.
He didn't invent. Post-its, did he?
I don't think so. I don't know what he invented.
you get there. You might be a little too young for that. That's a Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. They went back and said,
you're
so young. You didn't remember Romy and Michelle. All right, so.
Okay. Hey, did you watch? Hold on. You probably already watched the We Are the World doc on Netflix, right?
I have not. Is there a new one?
Yeah, apparently there's one that just came out about the making of the video.
Oh, I love it. I've seen
anyway,
like...
Anyway, let's get you back on topic.
Oh, no, I'd rather talk about the We Are the World video for like an hour. But okay, so when Arthur Smith was with the Titans, Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards 1 year. They had a tremendous offensive line. Ryan Tannehill was playing well. Will any of that translate to Pittsburgh? Steelers do not have an offensive line. They don't have Derrick Henry. Najee Harris is not Derrick Henry. we'll get to Kenny Pickett specifically in a second, but will any of that translate to what he's going to get in Pittsburgh?
Well, if you're looking for, like you said, a 2,000-yard rusher, you're not going to get that. I think you have to look more at Atlanta's time, you know, because things were set in place. Really good offensive line in Tennessee, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, who's a quarterback that can play well off the bootleg. But with, you know, with the personnel they have in Atlanta compared to Pittsburgh, I mean, it's eerily similar. You have a big play wide receiver, 6'4", 6'5", guy, Drake London, George Pickens. You have double tight, and they loved going out of 22, 12 personnel, Kyle Pitts, Jonnu Smith. Well, in theory, you kind of have that with Pat Freiermuth, Darnell Washington. What would fit them well? Good blocking tight ends. Two really good running backs. Obviously different in skill set, but Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, Tyler Algier, Bijan Robinson. And then the question mark comes in. He had to work with really bad quarterback play in Desmond Ridder. Now, from a talent standpoint, I think Kenny Pickett is better than Desmond Ridder. But those two guys ranked 29th and 30th in QBR this year. Now, I just don't think Desmond Ridder was capable of making the type of plays. Way too many turnovers. Very, very poor in the red zone. Kenny, again, has not looked great. Did not have a good year this year. But, again, it's all that tied to, is it the offensive coordinator? Is it the right guy? Did they have the right guy? They obviously didn't for him.
Man, I said a little earlier that I think Matt Canada might be the worst coordinator hire that the NFL's had in decades. I mean, you're talking about a complete farce of a hire in Matt Canada. 58 consecutive games without 400 yards. And then he's given a second year. So anybody coming in will be better than Matt Canada.
And I think for Kenny's benefit, what Arthur Smith was really good at, specifically in the first 15 plays, was giving his quarterback comfort throws, getting them into somewhat of a rhythm.
So they got off to good starts?
So they would have good opening drives. Now, I think that it happened after about week five. The first 5 weeks of the season, they went 3-and-out or had a turnover on their first five opening drives. Then he was able to figure out how to use Desmond Ridder properly, how to get him settled in, and they were much better on opening drives, much better on scripting. And part of that was when Desmond Ridder went out, Taylor Heinicke was actually a better option at quarterback for them. So I think Arthur Smith is going to be better at designing plays where Kenny's just going to have easy throws. And then eventually, as the game wore on, they're more and more comfortable pushing the ball down the field. I don't think you're going to see a ton of 15-yard outs that they were having Kenny throw under Matt Canada with Arthur Smith.
Forget the 15-yard outs. He threw the ball at the line of scrimmage all the damn time. He's not. I mean, that's the issue with Kenny, is that they're throwing little 3-yard passes that would amount to nothing. Kenny has not shown an ability to hit guys on the move. Little quick slants with precise accuracy that it takes. Did the Falcons and before that the Titans, did they do a lot of that where you're sending guys on quick little hitters over the middle and the quarterback, it's incumbent on him to put the ball on the money to a guy on the run?
What you have with both of those offenses, one was just a bell cow with Derrick Henry, and then the other was a mix and match, you know, running back by committee, which was very successful. They would lean on the run game first, but a lot of this is built off play action. A lot of what they're able to do is just get that quarterback, suck him up with the run game, get him to do some misdirection, whatever. You have a, you know, tight end drag or whatever it may be. And those throws were open. And there were times Desmond Ridder hit it. So I think that's what it comes down to, is just giving Kenny something to work off of a little bit better. It's just easy comfort throws, working off the ground game. And they were able to do that at times, just not being able to put it all together. This reminds me the hire and, you know, on paper and track record and everything. This is very similar to when the Steelers hired Todd Haley.
Yeah.
You know, had some head coaching experience, was a little bit of a creative play design. You remember those Kansas City teams that he had, you know, a lot of double tight.
All right, so I'm going to close there. My buddy Luke Hetrick, real smart guy, that's what he saw from Arthur Smith in Atlanta. We haven't seen really much of that. And I had not gone back to listen to that, so I wanted to hear 8 or 10 minutes of some of the creative play design and you know, trying to, you know, figure out what he might be able to do with the Steelers. The problem is the Steelers' offensive line is so bad, and I've talked about this a good bit this week already, especially on our Black and Gold Breakdown show. I think that they entered this season planning for Russell Wilson to be the starting quarterback. They weren't entering this season planning for Justin Fields to be the starting quarterback. I think Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith had a game plan for what they wanted to do with Russell Wilson, and they had to scrap that immediately. But Steelers are 4-2. Justin Fields won 4 games as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And at this point, we talked about this on the show yesterday. I think Russell Wilson should be the starter. He's not going to be. Justin Fields is going to be. You just don't switch starting quarterbacks when you're 4-2. And the quarterback that you're running out there has done, by and large, everything that you've wanted him to do. Okay? Now, has Justin Fields played great? No. Has Mike Tomlin asked Justin Fields to do much of anything other than just manage the game? That's the issue. I don't think that we've seen Arthur Smith be given the reins to do much with the offense. I don't think we've seen Justin Fields be given the reins to do much in the passing game. I think we've seen Mike Tomlin put the clamps on all of this so that the offense won't lose games. The defense is good enough. Let the defense try to take control. Hang around. And then if you got to make a play on offense, maybe you got to make a play. Or preferably Mike Tomlin would rather have that play made by the defense. But against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago, the defense was in position to make the play. Didn't make the play on 4th and goal from the 4. They end up losing. So I thought that was interesting going back a number of months ago with what we thought the Steelers were going to get from Arthur Smith versus what we've seen 6 games into the season, where frankly Arthur Smith has been neutered in a very big way because Mike Tomlin doesn't want his offense losing the game. All right, folks, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigar, for all of their support of our program. Enjoy your evening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC, Roaring Spring, Altoona.